ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 1 टेक्स्ट 27 ट्रांसलेशन एंड कमेंट्री बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। यथा वैरानुबंधेन मर्त्यस्तन्मायतामियात् न तथा भक्तियोगेन इति मे निश्चिता मतिः। ट्रांसलेशन। नारद मुनि कंटिन्यूड, बाय डिवोशनल सर्विस one cannot achieve such intense absorption in thought of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as one can through enmity toward Him. That is my opinion. Purport. Sriman Narad Muni, the topmost pure devotee, praises Krishna's enemies like Shishupal because their minds are always completely absorbed in Krishna. Indeed, he thinks himself deficient in the inspiration of being feelingly absorbed in Krishna consciousness. This does not mean, however, that the enemies of Krishna are more elevated than Krishna's pure devotees. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das, Kaviraj, a Goswami, also thinks of himself in such a humble way. Jagai madhai hoite mui se papishta, pui se kito hoite mui se loghishta. You know this verse? You learned it? Or are you just reading it? Yeah. It's amazing. I'll give the translation. Remember who's saying this? Krishna Das, Kaviraj, Goswami, who obviously from his Chaitanya Charitamrita is completely, and Govinda Lilamrita, and then he had his commentary on Krishna Kanamrita also. He's totally absorbed in highest level of love of God. And he says about himself, I am a worse sinner than Jagai and Madhai, and am even lower than the worms in the stool. A pure devotee always thinks himself more deficient than everyone else. If a devotee approaches Srimati Radharani to offer some service to Krishna, even Srimati Radharani thinks that the devotee is greater than she. Thus, Narada Muni says that according to his opinion, the enemies of Krishna are better situated because they are fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, and Krishna in terms of killing him, just as a very lusty man always thinks of women and their association. The essential point in this connection is that one should be fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna 24 hours a day. There are many devotees in Raga Marga, which is exhibited in Vrindavan, whether in Dasyaras, Sakyaras, Vatsalyaras or Madhuryaras. All the devotees of Krishna are always overwhelmed by thoughts of Krishna. When Krishna is away from Vrindavan tending the cows in the forest, the gopis in the Madhuryarasa are always absorbed in thoughts of how Krishna walks in the forest. The soles of his feet are so soft that the gopis would not dare keep his lotus feet on their soft breasts. Indeed, they consider their breasts a very hard place for the lotus feet of Krishna, yet those lotus feet wander in the forest which is full of thorny plants. The gopis are absorbed in such thoughts at home, although Krishna is away from them. Similarly, when Krishna plays with his young friends, Mother Yashoda is very much disturbed by thoughts that Krishna, because of always playing and not taking his food properly, must be getting weak. These, I'm just thinking, because they feed Krishna such a big breakfast, and Mother Yashoda, that description is there, Shukta Shakadi Dali Nalito Krishmanda What is it? Shukta Shagadi Bhajina Leto Krishna. Dali Dalna Dugda Tumbi Roti Grita. I can't remember that's all now, but it's a huge list of the main preparations. He has that for breakfast. Yeah. And as soon as he goes out, Mother Yashoda is saying, oh, he must be hungry. They give him lunch box to take also. Then he comes back at night and has a big feast also. And there are always fruits in the forest, but Mother Yashoda is thinking, oh, must be so hungry. And then he goes out with his cowherd boys to play. He has to go away, otherwise he can't play with his cowherd boyfriends because they're fighting, and Mother Yashoda, she can't see. They're just playing as friends. And naturally then one boy will fight and wrestle with another, but Mother Yashoda can't see that. She's thinking, oh, it's so much pain for Krishna, but it's all his fun. So different kinds of fun are conflicting. Also, Mother Yashoda, she doesn't have a clue about Krishna with the gopis, how they're loving each other, because it's so rasa virodha. The different kinds of loving and affection, they clash with each other. So anyway, I didn't finish reading the purport. This service is indirectly praised by Narad Muni in this verse, especially for the conditioned soul. Narad Muni recommends that one somehow or other be absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, for that will save one from the dangers of material existence. Full absorption in thought of Krishna is the highest platform of bhakti yoga. This is the beauty of Srimad Bhagavatam and of the pure devotees, that it is Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam, it is scientific delineation of topics concerning the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and at the same time it is the it is Nigama Kalpatra Galitam, it is Phalam, it is the ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic knowledge, but then that knowledge that brings us to the point of rasa, of relishable, juicy taste, emotional taste. Therefore, mohoraho rasikab vibhavaka. Always the recommendation is there to enjoy the sweet juice, the taste from the fruits of the ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic knowledge in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah, so here, what's going on is, in this first chapter of the seventh canto of Bhagavatam, there is a discussion of how is it that the Supreme Lord is equal to everyone. He should be equal to everyone, right? Everyone's his son. Sarva yoni shukantaya murtaya sambhavanti yaha tasam brahma mahadyoni aham bija pradapita. Krishna says, I am the seed-giving father of all living beings. So he should be equal to all. But it seems that he favors the devotees and disfavors the demons. That seems to be what's going on. Yudhishthira asked Narada. So Narada is explaining that, how the Supreme Lord is equal to everyone. Why does he kill Shishupal? Doesn't seem like a very nice thing to do. But then Narada says that, well, actually, I think demons like Shishupal, they're actually in a better situation. They have more intense feeling. By their hatred is stronger than even the love of the devotees. And then this impels Srila Prabhupada to say, hey, wait a minute. You know, the love is stronger than the hate. Yashoda and the gopi, the young gopis. Yashoda is the older. The gopis are, of course, there are different ways of dividing the gopis. But one way is the older gopis on the age group of Yashoda, who have maternal affection to Krishna, and then there are the young gopis, who are the age of Radha, a little older or younger, and they are in an attitude of loving Krishna as a young girl loves a young boy. But actually they're mourning. That's particularly for Radha, and the others are all servants of Radha. So in the middle of this abstruse, sukshamana discussion of philosophical truths concerning the Supreme Personality of Godhead, inevitably in the discussions of the pure devotees, there comes a discussion of his love and the love of the devotees for him. And in this verse has come discussion of the hatred of Shishupal. He was exceptional among demons. There are so many demons at the time of Krishna. And he, practically from the beginning, he was killing demons. Putana, Shakata, then Aga and Baka, they're all one family. Agasura, Bakasura, Putana. Whew, what a family. Anyway, Krishna was killing so many, but Shishupala was special. Because even though and Dantavakra, we don't hear much about Dantavakra, but actually Shishupala and Dantavakra, they are Jayanvijay, who came again as, first of all, as Ravana and Kumbhakarna, and jug ears, Kumbhakarna, has ears like jugs. Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, then Ravana, Kumbhakarna, and then again is Shishupal and Dantavakra. So Shishupal greatly hated Krishna, and Narad Muni praises, in one sense, the intensity. Hate is a very intense emotion. At least in English, we can use the word love in a very loose way. I love chocolate. Well, I don't actually. Or maybe even if I do, I haven't tasted it for 40 years or something, unless someone slipped me some Mangalati Sandesh or something. But, okay, we can say in a very loose way. I don't love ants biting me. So it can be used in a very loose way, but the word hate is a very strong word, isn't it? Very, very strong word. It's a very, very intense emotion. But that intensity, that is required in devotion. Tivrena bhakti yogena yajita purusham param. That is required. Somehow or other, if we intensely worship Krishna, even out of some material desire, okay, I'll worship Krishna because I want to have some material desire fulfilled. Akama sarva kama va moksha kama udara dihi ti reina bhakti yogena yajita purusham param. Whether one is desireless, it means a devotee who is automatically serving Krishna with intensity, or has material desires. And a great example of that is Dhruv Maharaj, with very strong material desires, worship Krishna. Then, akamasara, moksha kama, one who desires liberation. If one one should worship Krishna intensely. So that intensity of love that is being indirectly praised by Narad Muni here, by seeing the example of Shishupala and others who seriously hated Krishna. It wasn't for them a hobby. It was completely absorbed. Vairanudandhena, this term is used here. comes more than once in the Bhagavatam, comes in the previous. Vairanubandhena, vaira, that's the enmity, and anubandha means just tied up by it, completely absorbed in it. We hear a story about Kamsa, while he was eating, while he was sleeping, while he was getting up in the morning, taking bath, always thinking of Krishna, but with an attitude of hatred, intense absorption in hatred. It seems in this material world, it's easier to hate than to love. Especially in this modern age means Kali Yoga, last 5,000 years. Well, it's modern compared to Dwarapa Yoga, Treta Yoga, and Satya Yoga. Hatred, very intense emotion. People, they become ready to hate others very easily. It's almost as if they need that, or they like that. That's why the Machiavellian politics. Sorry. The Machiavelli, the political theorist of medieval Italy, recommended that for the prince or the head of state, he should always have some outside enemy. Should always make some enmity with some neighboring state, and that will unify the people. Because if you don't have them unified against an outside enemy, then they're going to fight amongst each other and fight against the prince. So the idea is that people, it's almost they need an enemy. The feeling that we need to hate someone. People talk of love and people become impressed by that, but practically it seems to be easier to inspire people on the platform of hate than on the platform of love. It's easier to raise an army to go and fight the enemy, whoever the enemy may be, than to get people to sacrifice en masse for the benefit of others. So that hatred, Narad Muni, in an indirect way, back to front way. Got that? Virupu. Does that sound like something like Vipalita? He is praising the intense love of the great devotees of Krishna, which we are all supposed to, here in our Krishna consciousness movement, we're supposed to be developing that, or at least in our beginning stages, we're supposed to be developing at least a desire to come to that level. That's a beginning, if we at least desire to come, some kind of desire to come to that level. It's not when we've been covered by egoism, sense of I, me and mine for unlimited births, just as all of a sudden cast it off and be in full intense love of Krishna. Well, it's not so likely to happen very quickly, but at least we have the desire to do that and then engage in sadhana, becoming in contact with Krishna. Then the idea, coming in contact with Krishna by hearing and chanting about Krishna and serving Krishna and discussing Krishna, being in association with devotees of Krishna, the idea is that we become Krishna-ized, like an iron rod in a fire gradually becomes hot, 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 and becomes, it takes on the nature of the fire. As by, just by being immersed in that atmosphere. So that's always recommended then, that devotees take up devotional service very seriously, become intensely absorbed in bhajan, in devotional activities. Of course, Srila Prabhupada gave us so many concessions for the modern age. We should be chanting 64 rounds minimum a day, but we're given 16 to chant. We should be, today is Ekadashi, we should be fasting from midday, the day before. No water, staying up all night. Fasting means no water, no food, nothing, until the next morning. And then no extra rest, no sleeping in the day, and go on with our service. That's the standard, but we're all rather pathetic compared to people of not very long ago, previously. They were physically and mentally strong enough to do this, and they had that practice from the beginning of life. So the idea then, on Ekadashi, just chant. Absorb in devotional service. So intense bhajan, which can help one to awaken one's dormant, intense love of Krishna. Now, of course, Srila Prabhupada gave us so many concessions. Not that he was cheating us of the real thing, but that we ourselves have... He was just ministering to our level. And then he gave us so many services to perform with the idea that we can become purified. And Srila Prabhupada also gave the formula 16 plus 4 equals BTG. You can't translate that in Tamil. 16 rounds plus 4 regulated principles equals back to Godhead. BTG, back to Godhead. Bhagavad Darshanam, in. Not exactly, but that's what they call the magazine in Tamil. Bhagavad Darshanam. The Back to Godhead magazine. Yeah. Yeah. So, Srila Prabhupada, by His mercy, we can be delivered. But the intensity is required. Intensity of devotional service. It's easier to... Excuse me. It's easier to hate than to love. It seems like that for us conditioned souls. But we should not cultivate that hating feelings. It's also possible within the sphere of devotional service. Because in the society of devotees, there are so many discrepancies. And when the discrepancies become normal or normalized, that is what is called a deviation. When what is not, what should not be allowed or done is habitually done, and everyone seems to think it's okay, then that's called a deviation, because that will impede our advancement in devotional life. Just like here, devotees are living here. The idea is to have some peaceful rural community where devotees can all together live a devotional life. We can all help nourish each other's devotional progress. And here there's supposed to be no influence, or at least gross influence, of the materialistic way of life. So the whole International Society for Krishna Consciousness is meant for that, to make an atmosphere. The temples, the ashrams, the communities, supposed to make an atmosphere in which everyone can practice Krishna consciousness. Anukulyena, Krishna anushilanam, to practice devotional service in a favorable atmosphere and to cultivate our feelings for Krishna so that we become more ourselves more and more inclined to serve Him. But within that atmosphere, if something unfavorable enters and is allowed to enter, then it detracts from the atmosphere. Just to give an example, I was informed recently that in Mayapur it was announced by WhatsApp or whatever that a tattoo artist had arrived in the community. And everyone was informed of this so that they could take advantage of the services of the tattoo artist. And one brave lady tweeted or whatever it was, saying, well, actually, this isn't very good, is it? We didn't come to Krishna consciousness for all this tattoos and things like that. There's some bodily decorations, rather low-class thing. We came to Krishna consciousness, we wanted a more elevated way of life. So, it's just a, you know, it's just a small thing that all of a sudden we find in the kirtan that the boys playing the mridangas have got daggers on their arms and daggers and snakes. That's a common motive, isn't it? A dagger with a snake on it, tattoo motive. Imitating their counterparts in the West, kirtaniyas. So I mean, well, it's just a small thing, yeah, but it's not recommended in Shastra, it's not in tradition, and it just little thing which brings in something of bodily consciousness. Let me decorate my body. Of course, decoration of the body is also allowed there in Vedic culture, especially for Grihasthas. But then there's a Vedic way of doing that also. The best decoration for the body is tilak. That's a spiritual decoration. But then Grihasthas, I'm dressed nicely. Nice dhotis, saris, on occasion, and they may have jewelry and so many things. So there's a way of doing all these things which is in line with the culture that Krishna has given us, Krishna's Vedic culture. Now, so that's might be called a relatively small example, but maybe it's not so small either, because after all, in Mayapur, it's the land of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and so many people come, and they're surrounded by so many Gauriya Mats, and then the Navadvip Gosais, Goswamis, and Babajis, and you know, and it's going to become a laughing stock, or worse still, that people, they come to ISKCON and think, oh, this is the biggest and best. So this is the way to be a Vaishnav. You can't be a proper Vaishnav unless you have a dagger with a snake tattooed on your shoulder. That may come. That may happen. We start to pollute the whole culture of the sampradaya. So that's just one example. And there may be so many examples of how Krishna consciousness has been brought to the world, supposed to show a better way of life, and there may be so many deviations by individuals or by groups in so many ways. And what do you do? Point that out. You can point that out. And what will happen? And nothing. Usually. Nothing. Or just the thing goes on. So it just goes on because we love everyone. And we unconditionally love everyone. And that means we don't... People are setting a bad example. We don't say anything because we unconditionally love. Something like that. Okay, so what can we do? What can we do? Then we should get very angry, probably. Why are they bringing all these things? Like, for instance, one very gross example of something which is a very severe deviation is if a sannyasi has a female traveling assistant, who, you know, pretty young girl who travels with him everywhere. Now, that's clearly outside the scope of sannyas. There's no point to take sannyas. If someone wants to travel all over the world with a pretty young woman and he marries her, and well, okay, that's one thing. But a sannyasi is, what's the meaning of sannyas? I mean, the first thing you think about when you think of sannyasi is that he's not supposed to have a, not be closely associated with females. At least, I mean, of course, sannyasi doesn't hate females. He's not supposed to hate anyone. In terms of social behavior, there has to be a distance. Sannyasi is supposed to set an example. So if that does go on in our society, and it does go on, then it's not surprising if someone becomes very disturbed by that and may even make a case about it, and it shouldn't go on. But it goes on. So what do? Scream and yell. And what happens? Nothing. It just goes on. Because we love everyone. And we don't want to say anything bad about anyone. Okay, that's one thing. And then there are so many things. Now, in a movement, our movement, we can expect that there will be discrepancies. Now, I'm using these words here, discrepancies and deviation. And there's a difference between the two, because discrepancy means a departure from the norm, an unwanted or improper departure from the norm. And a deviation means when the departure from the norm becomes the norm. It becomes normal and accepted. So there's a difference. So discrepancies will always be there, but deviations should not be allowed. But somehow or other, they are being allowed, which means the whole devotional society is being undermined. So much so that you told me that one temple president in Europe, it said that when people newly become interested in devotional service, he doesn't recommend them to come to the temple. Because if they come to the temple, then they'll get such a bad impression that their enthusiasm to take up Krishna consciousness will go down. But the temples are supposed to be where people come and they see an example of pure devotional service. And even many years ago, a devotee in America, actually Vijay, the book distribution minister or something, told me that. He said there's only one or two temples in the whole of America where I would advise anyone, if anyone takes an interest, there are only one or two temples in America where I would advise them to go. So that's a very serious situation, isn't it? It means there's something seriously wrong with our movement in many parts of the world. What do you do? Well, you could make a stink about it. Now, what's this got to do with all this, what I'm talking about? Well, talking about the attitude of sustained, intense hatred. Intense. Now, I'm just thinking, there's one devotee, whatever. He's been practically daily on the internet for maybe 20, 25 years, and just blasting all the faults in ISKCON. And a lot of the stuff he says is true. But at the same time, a lot of the stuff he says is also not true, exaggerated, from a skewed perspective. But he, and there may be others like him also, they seem to live on the hate or the negativity. They may actually be almost pleased when they get a report of something gone wrong, because that gives more fuel for the bhav that they are cultivating. That they have become the voice of righteousness. And that's what they are cultivating. Now I'm just thinking that, what is that? Sajjana gunam icchanti dosham icchanti pamaraha. Srila Prabhupada used to quote that the saintly persons, they like to see good qualities, and sinful people, they like to see faults. Now, that doesn't mean we should be completely blind to faults, but at the same time, we shouldn't be desirous of finding faults. Just like Shishupal was desirous of finding faults with Krishna. And he did. How can you find faults with Krishna? Well, Shishupal did. We don't know who this person is. He started off as some cowherd boy. Then all of a sudden he's standing up here like he's some kind of king. What caste does he belong to? He doesn't have any caste. So to say in Vedic culture, say someone doesn't have any caste, that's a very great condemnation. Even now we have in India the OBCs and the backward castes, other backward castes. They're considered very low if someone has no caste. Shudra is low. Just call someone a Shudra is an insult. Prabhupada often used to call his disciples. Vaishya is higher, Kshatriya is higher, Brahmana is higher, and Shudra is very low. But then below the Shudra, really low. So to say someone isn't, because Shudra at least is a caste. So if we say someone has no caste, that's a great insult. So Shishupal saw that in Krishna. You see, how can you start off as a cowherd or a Vaishya, then all of a sudden you become a Kshatriya? That just means he has no fixed caste. So he's insulting Krishna. Of course, it was actually true, but it's actually praise, because Krishna has no caste. Not that he's below, he's above all castes. And he appears as a cowherd boy to enjoy pastimes with his loving devotees in Vrindavan, and he appears as a Kshatriya boy in Mathura, and then as a prince in Dwaraka to please his devotees. So, but Shishupal was finding fault. Even one of Srila Prabhupada, not his godbrothers, but someone in the Gauriya Math long ago in Madras, as it was called at that time, he was criticizing Prabhupada, said that, well, if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted Krishna consciousness spread all over the world, he would have done it himself. So what is this Bhaktivedanta Swami? He was criticizing. It's ridiculous. He's criticizing him for preaching Krishna consciousness all over the world. So Srila Prabhupada, when he heard this, he said that, well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't do it personally because he wanted to give the credit to me. So it is possible to find fault anywhere, and genuine faults require to be pointed out. But at the same time, if one has an attitude of deliberately looking for faults, that is not Vaishnava. And one should be somewhat generous also to try to, not to presume someone is faulty or they're wrong, and then just blame them. Maybe I'm getting a little bit wise, maybe, but nowadays, if someone comes to me and gives some bad report about them, I don't necessarily accept it, because usually there's always another side to the story. So, or they may say this is bad, and you say, well, maybe there's a good side also. Or maybe it's all just bad, that may be there also. But the thing is, it's not wise to make a judgment about people without considering. That's why they have court cases, and the judge, he considers, judges, after hearing all the different sides. Anyway, those who get into this, just only seeing the faults and looking for the bad things, they may in one sense be doing a service by warning devotees to maybe not associate with those who are actually grossly deviated. But at the same time, if that feeling becomes so intense that they're always looking for the fault and seeing the bad, that can be then like Shishupal. He's being praised in one sense, but it's a back to front kind of praise. And Shishupal did get liberated, and because he happened to originally be one of the associates of the Lord in Vaikuntha, then he went back to Vaikuntha because he was always thinking of Krishna. But not necessarily that everyone gets that by being intensely absorbed in fault-finding attitude. Now, I'm just thinking that they're so much dedicated that for more than 20 years they're writing daily so many, you know, very heavy things and using all the heaviest, strongest adjectives, denouncing devotees, or they were people they consider to be not actually devotees. That intensity. Now, if they had that intensity in bhajan, oh, then they'd be a very advanced devotee. I don't know what they think of when they wake up in the morning. What are they thinking? That now I've got to find out some more bad news to broadcast. What are they thinking of? It's easier to hate than love, it seems, in this world. As madhyamadhikaris, we're supposed to see with one good eye and one bad eye. You should see the good side, but we shouldn't be naive to the bad side either. If we see all good and don't see the bad and just say everything's good when it's not, then everything becomes degraded. And if we see all bad, then no one becomes inspired to be good. If we think that everything's all bad, then where's the inspiration to progress if everyone's simply deviated and off the wall? So, intensity, it's easier to be intense. Of course, it may be easy also just to relax and have nothing to do with any of this. Just forget it. I'll just sit at home and chant Hare Krishna. That's also you can do. Forget all this. Looking, seeing false, I'll just sit at home and chant Hare Krishna. But if devotees could have that intense application to devotional service, let me eat less, sleep less, chant more, serve more. Or Srila Prabhupada engaged us in intense activities, in preaching, marathons, go out, distribute more books, intense absorption in distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. And that becomes very powerful for spiritual advancement. And ultimately, that is going to help us, Parvaushadha, the medicine for material existence, is hearing about Krishna, which is Shrota Mano Abhirama, which is very pleasing to hear about. And actually, if someone is practicing Krishna consciousness, hearing, chanting, applying themselves in devotional service very powerfully, very strongly, very intensely, then if they point out something, some discrepancy, which should be rectified, or some deviation that should be rectified, and people are likely to take it very seriously, if they can see the person's very strong in devotional service. Otherwise, it can be that someone's they're intensely applying themselves, that they've taken upon themselves what they consider to be the service of pointing out faults for the benefit of all, reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. But it can become mixed up with one's own egoism also. That's true of anything. Even chanting many rounds can become mixed up with one's egoism. That I am, I'm chanting so many rounds, just see, I'm so much better than everyone else. So that is possible in any area of devotional service. But in pointing out faults in or that need to be rectified in Vaishnava society, then one should, it's best done by those who are intensely themselves absorbed in devotional service, who are intensely absorbed in bhaja. Then people are more likely to take it seriously. And that point that if they do engage in intense devotional service, or by hearing, chanting lots of rounds, very seriously trying to absorb themselves in thoughts of Krishna, studying Bhagavatam, then that will be very powerful for their spiritual advancement. And that will ultimately uplift the Vaishnava society. It's not all done by rules and regulations and meetings and what is that Srila Prabhupada said? Instead of meetings, resolutions, revolutions, and no solutions, better to chant Hare Krishna. Now that doesn't mean, again, it doesn't mean that the discrepancies and deviations shouldn't be pointed out. But at the same time, we have to keep our focus. So it's not like some, we're not like some political party where all the, within the party there's all infighting to see who can show, what's the best, who can be the best leader, this, that, and the newspapers, they're always trying to expose the politicians. I think they gave up because the politicians became so shameless. Well, they still expose, but anyway, the politicians don't care at all. The corruption, hypocrisy, and you can't be a politician unless you, speak with a forked tongue. So, what is our focus? If we I myself have, in my infamous life, pointed out various discrepancies and deviations in public way, and it's not that I've given up on that, but at the same time, we always have to remember that at the time of death, we have to remember Krishna with loving attitude, and to facilitate that, we have to cultivate that. throughout this life, loving feelings for Krishna. That's why chanting, studying Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita is now available in Tamil. Of course, Bhagavad Gita, all these books, just a book. It's a book. It's a book. So there are so many books, and in reading books, we can absorb our minds in so many different topics. But these books, although they are made of paper with ink, like any book, that's what books are. Nowadays there are e-books, but basically, traditionally, books. For the last few hundred years have meant paper and ink. So what do we find in here? All spiritual. They're completely different from topics of the material world. Maybe condemning the situation of the material world. I just opened the book here at one well-known verse, well-known to us because Srila Prabhupada often quoted it. Yan maithuna adi griha medhi sukham hitucham kandu yanena karaya iva dukkha dukham tripyanti neha kripana bahuduka bhaja kandu tivam manasijang vishaheta dhiraha. Prahlad Maharaj's instructions. Sex life is compared to the rubbing of two hands to relieve an itch. Griha medhis, so-called grihastas, who have no spiritual knowledge, think that this itching is the greatest platform of happiness, although actually it is a source of distress. The kripanas, the fools who are just the opposite of brahmanas, are not satisfied by repeated sensuous enjoyment. Those who are dhira, however, who are sober and who tolerate this itching, are not subjected to the sufferings of fools and rascals. That's pretty heavy condemnation, isn't it? Fault finding? No, it's not fault finding because it's meant to lift people by distinguishing what is right from what is wrong. It is meant for lifting people to the higher consciousness, Krishna consciousness, love of Krishna. So these books are spiritual knowledge, spiritual bliss, Goyokera Prema Dhan, Harinama Sankirtan. The chanting of the holy names is imported from the spiritual world. Ratina jan milo kenetai. Narottanda says, why didn't I get a taste for that? What's wrong with me? So, let us become absorbed. Intensely in love of Krishna. Step by step. Shanai shanai uparamed. Buddha driti grihitaya, step by step, gradually, with intelligence and determination, we should become purified. Hare Krishna.
So he is asking, he has an observation. He was in Kerala.
In Kerala with the Padayatra.
So during that time there was a Namahatta center which was being managed by one Mataji leader. So the Mataji leader used to drive around in her car. So one sannyasi, he So she used to drive that sannyasi around in the car.
In Kerala, one lady devotee used to drive around a sannyasi in her car. Yeah, not proper. Not proper. But if it goes on day after day and people come to think it's proper, it's okay. And then the whole meaning of sannyas is lost. And the whole principle of careful and restricted dealings between men and women, that's also lost. And then it's very difficult to advance in Krishna consciousness. So that's a fact. This is the kind of thing that I'm talking about. From my side, I'm writing books, pointing out all these things, pointing out what is the proper standard, and trying to set up some communities where we can have a little sanity in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, all men, women mixing up, it's insane, it's crazy. There's no question of proper spiritual advancement in such a situation.
He's saying that here mostly the labor who come to work, they are women.
The women are working, yeah.
So he says, being brahmachari, he has.
Yeah, yeah. The farm communities are actually meant for grihasthas
more.
It's not that brahmacharis can't. Of course, there are so many ashrams in India where they have a goshala. Generally, any ashram will have a goshala. It may be Mayavadi or whatever. But then the men, the brahmacharis, they do all the work. They don't bring in labor from outside. If they bring labor, some mystery or something, there'll be a man. It's not an ideal situation. Very difficult to get an ideal situation in the modern age. One thing, those women who work, they work very sincerely, don't they? If you give them the work to do, you don't have to be there at every moment. They work very hard. Tivramana, intensely, yeah. Same word. But that's not the point of your question, that you shouldn't be dealing like that. The men don't come to work. They get money. They still get money from the government for not working. That system's still going on in Tamil Nadu. That crazy system. They give them money for not working. Then they don't work. And it pushes up the price of the labor. And it's insane policies just to get votes. Mad. Completely mad policies. Anyway, as you may know, this project is in a protracted state of flux. It's not going on as expected in the beginning. That it's going on is largely thanks to you. That it's still going on. Same thing in Telangana, there was Narayan Srinivas, he just stayed there through all difficult times. And now it's come up very nicely. That the farm we have in Telangana, we went through a very tough period, but Narayan Srinivas Prabhu stuck it out. And now it's developing very nicely. In some ways. I mean, of course, there are so many discrepancies also. And there always will be, because that's the nature of the material world. At least the direction has to be clear. Maybe that's the difference between discrepancies and deviations. If there are discrepancies, there are things going wrong, but at least we know where we're supposed to be headed. But with deviations, we just lose the proper focus altogether. Anything else? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama.